So anyway, how you been, man?
Doing good. Let's try this again. Okay, as I was saying, I have discovered that Unsolved Mysteries to us is what Forensic Files is to my son's generation.
Oh, really?
I've been watching old episodes of Forensic Files, and he told me the other night, he says, I don't know how you can go to sleep after watching that. Just the guy's voice and the music just creeps him out. Because they had some pretty brutal stories, and they showed some pretty hardcore stuff in that show.
I don't think I've ever watched it. I've seen like the similar style shows that are kind of like, like the true crime ones where it's like, it starts off where it's like, this guy could not have possibly been the murderer. And like, they spend like 45 minutes showing you that he's not the murderer. And then like, and they're like, except for all of these different ways that he's the murderer. Right. And you're like, and he ended up going to jail for life. Like, oh, right on. Well,
I've been watching a little bit of it, and there's so much Forensic Files on Netflix. It's like 9 seasons and 40 episodes per season. It's just a ridiculous amount of content.
Wow.
But I think I'm now, it's as though I'm training to be a hitman when I watch that show. It's like I'm jotting down all the mistakes not to make.
Yeah, they put those things out there, and then you know, like, okay, well, make sure to get all the blonde hair out of your trunk, especially if your wife is brunette.
Right. Well, there was one guy, he had faked his death, and everything was absolutely perfect with it. Except, I'm talking, this guy went to such detail with everything. Except the body he used in place of his own, he put it upside down in the car. So when the car burned, the very top of the skull was the only thing that survived. And the only way that could have been charred is if the body had been upside down and not touched by the fire. And that's how they were able to figure out it wasn't him. It's crazy, man. So now I know if I need to fake my death to make sure I put the body upright in the driver's seat, everything will be fine.
Oh, man. I mean,
this dude even went as far. It was crazy, man. He did it in Mexico. He stole the body of a Mexican guy in a graveyard there. He took one of the teeth out of the skull before he set it on fire. That hauled ass back to his wife's house in Pennsylvania, gave her the tooth and said, hey, when the cops come and say they need DNA evidence, tell them that I pulled this tooth last year and give them this tooth.
So his wife was in on it,
too? His wife was in on it, too, yeah.
Wow. They were trying to get the insurance money and then disappear.
Yeah, and he was a finance guy. He had stole a bunch of money from a bunch of investors and stuff. And it was just a crazy, crazy story.
That's awesome. We're gonna go get a body and take a tooth and then run it home. Where do you have the time?
So how have you been? Well, man, it's been crazy times, bro.
Dude, it has been. I keep having like the word like it's like Groundhog Day, bro. It's like every time you start thinking like, okay, you know, this whole thing's getting a little bit better, maybe we can go outside, then, you know, shifts the other direction and you're still, you know, you're kind of living. But man, dude, I'm living each day. It's like I wake up in the morning, I've got all of these things I need to do. I do all of those things and I do other things as well. And at the end of the day, I feel like I ain't accomplished anything. And I wake up and the next day I have to do the exact same thing as I did yesterday. It's like, it's like Groundhog Day. It's yeah, crazy.
I've given up trying to figure out what day of the week it is, because literally today I saw somebody had posted a Happy Hump Day or something. I was like, idiot, it's Tuesday. I was like, no, wait, it actually is Wednesday. What the hell am I talking about?
Well, like, yeah, first of all, my daughters have both been, homeschooled since March, and neither one of them have left the house very much at all. And so you can imagine that they're living right in the middle of the shining as far as things go. But, you know, I'm sitting there working with my daughter today because they announced they're going to go back to homeschool. Well, there's a couple of things that occurred. The first one is that the school itself, coronavirus or not, my kids were coming out. We're like, hey, look, we're helping them with homeschool. Okay, can you do, you know, my daughter's in third grade. Can you do basic math? Can you add? Can you subtract, multiply, divide? She's like, nope. Like, I kind of know the pluses and the minuses, but, you know, like, you add a second digit to anything, and she's just...
I can like, make her a sandwich and give her chips for lunch. And I'll make sure the Wi-Fi is on the entire time.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, so you are you're dreadfully unprepared for... I mean, she knows a whole lot about social justice. She don't know shit about math, right? So I'm like, okay. And this was back whenever we were homeschooling for the COVID thing. Like, they sent them home, and they're sending home their lessons, and their lessons are like, the school kind of waffled back and forth. Like, the first couple of weeks of homeschool lessons, it was like college doctorate level stuff. And then, like, I'm like, dude, no, this is messed up, because I've seen their homework. Like, I've seen their homework every day for the, you know, I've seen her homework every day since she's been alive, and it's not this hard. And then the homework steadily got less and less, to where by the end it's like, you know, think about drawing a picture of a frog and tell your mom you did it, and then go play or something. Like, that was, it was like their end assignments was like, think about something you love and be happy about it. And it's like, okay, fine. Anyway, that's a long way around. So we went, and my wife got these. So they're in kindergarten and third grade, going into first grade and fourth grade. So she got these workbooks that are called Summer Gap things. They're the books that are supposed to keep you – they're like really quick, like five-question exercises that you're supposed to do every day, and they're going to try to remind you. It's going to help you remember the stuff you learned. Yeah, they neither one of them have seen any of it. We're both just like, but anyway, that was sitting with my daughter being like, hey, you know, it's like, you've been working hard. We'll do the rest of this tomorrow. She's like, what? Tomorrow's Saturday. And I'm like, baby, today's Wednesday. She's like, no, that's not possible. So yeah, time warp, you know, like, you don't know if anything's open. You don't know if anything's closed, because different places have opened and closed for different reasons and stuff. So,
right.
And you feel bad. You can't just go wander around and shop, because, like, the people that work there have to. They're like, man, go home. I don't want to be here. Yeah.
I've been doing the grocery shopping, and I actually went to Hobby Lobby the other day with my daughter. She wanted to go run over there, but other than that, I mean, I'll see people that are like, you know, getting together for, you know, Taco Tuesday or whatever. And like, I almost want to say, you know, I could go use a drink. And then I'm like, nah, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm just going to stay my ass home and be safe.
We've been pretty careful. Like, when I say pretty careful, I'm going to say we've probably been more conservative than most.
Yeah,
like,
we've been. Me and Noah were talking about the things that you guys have been doing at your house, and he's like, "Man, he was proud of you guys for taking it so seriously and stuff."
Yeah, well, we all had it, you know. Probably the last episode that we did together, at least one of us was sick. Like, and we never got tested positive, but it was like. My wife, especially, she had the cough, she had the body aches, she had like the high fever. She had it all. Like, and she was kind of low for like 4 or 5 days, and then on the like sixth day, she had like an upswing, and on the seventh day, she just tumbled right back down the hill, and she was sick for another like 5 or 6 days.
Wow.
And you know, we call the doctor, and the doctors are like, yeah, you know. Pretty good chance you got it. Like, unless you just have trouble breathing or really just are sick, stay home. So we've been very cautious, and we didn't want to get anybody else sick.
Right.
And, you know, so we've had friends of ours in the neighborhood that we know are equally cautious, and we've done like gone over and had, you know, had some drinks in the driveway and stuff like that. But for the most part, we've been chilling, been throwing some of the mask makers some business.
I've got my one I bought at the beginning. The thing about the mask that I bought when this all first started is I can't stand something over my ears. Mm-hmm. So the one I had got has a thing where there's like a drawstring that you cinch up in the back of your head. There's two drawstrings for that. So I'm still using that same one that I've been having for a couple of months now, just washing it every week. But I've been thinking about being that we're probably going to be wearing masks for a while. I've been looking at some of the cooler ones and everything, thinking about getting a nifty little design, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
I bought one with a plague doctor on it from Fast Custom.
I was going to ask if you got it from Joe. Okay.
Yeah, I did. And because, you know, like the mask debate's been so crazy with everybody's opinions and stuff on it. Like I cracked a joke. Like, I deleted some of the comments because I was just like, no, this is not the place for this. But I cracked a joke being like, I'm surprised that the mask debate fell along party lines and not about people who wear glasses and people who don't. Because if you wear glasses and you wear the mask,
it fogs
you don't up. See.
Yeah.
Yeah, it fogs up. You don't see. Now, is this a problem that I'm willing to die for? No. I wear the mask. Whether or not I believe in its efficacy at any state of the game, everybody, you know, it's like, It's the law, and everybody's doing it, and everybody's worried about it, and everybody's angry about it. So what the hell? It's easy, right?
Right.
But it's a pain in the ass for us bearded glasses-wearing people, because glasses aside, then you're also walking out looking like a 70s bikini model. Like it's, and the itchiness is real. So I'm like, okay, if this thing keeps going on, I'm going to have to bust out my – I'm going to have to go out to the garage and pull out some scrap wood and – develop an apparatus, because oh man. But yeah, man, things, I mean, other than the strange sense of doom that the whole world seems to have on it, then everything's been going all right.
Yeah, it's definitely almost a Return of the Living Dead sense of dread.
Yeah.
It's like it's not going to end, and when it does end, it's not going to end well.
Yep. But in the meantime, oh hey, by the way, we didn't even introduce ourselves.
We're just rambling and talking.
This is episode 154 of the Scary Dead Podcast. There are 153 episodes before this one, varying degrees of quality depending on the consumption and the amount of alcoholic beverages used during the show. Our efforts to get a beer sponsor failed, but we still drank just like we had one, so it's all good. And that's, you know, we're 13 minutes into the pre-roll, so I guess we didn't really even need that much of a subject today.
Wow.
But we'll talk about it.
As many of you may be aware, we haven't recorded in a while, so it's very good to be back together, so I'm sure it'll be just us rambling, reminiscing, and just getting back into the feel of things tonight.
Absolutely. Well, we got some. We'll talk about some fun stuff.
Yeah.
But we are changing up the format a little bit because a couple of things we started trying to record. We're going to change up our release date, but the reason we changed up the release date was because the old business, which is our history segment, which happens kind of towards the beginning of the show, typically, you know, I don't know, we've been together for like 4 years and. It's interesting, but then it started getting to where every time I'd start writing down a history segment, it would seem strangely familiar. And I'd realize that because we would release on Mondays, and days, you know, the way the week's set up as far as the calendar goes, it's not consistent. Like, you're not doing the same thing. Like, July 4th could happen on a Monday or a Saturday or whatever. I was writing down the same history segment that I'd done like 2 years, 3 years ago. And I was like, man, this sucks. If we've already, this is called having jumped the shark on that segment. So while the history segment is awesome, we're going to change it up a little bit. So we're going to ask Mr. Gomez to give us a little bit of a hand.
First, the old business.
Okay, so what we're going to do, this inaugural one, I'm going to just go straight back to the back to the back, and we are going to talk about some movies that came out the month of July, 1980. Why 1980? Because it's 2020, and I figured let's just roll on back. But it could be random years, it could be random subjects, it might be, you know, the top 10 records, it could be, you know, the top 10 video movie rentals. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But for today, if you were alive in July 1980 and you wanted to go see a movie, These would have been your selections that you could have seen. Most of these were in the theater at the exact same time as one another. And all of them are awesome. So in July 1980, you were going to go see the original Airplane. The comedy movie that was a spoof on all of the disaster movies of the 70s.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I think I told you I watched Exorcism at 60,000 feet the other day. Did I mention that to you?
No, is it good?
It was very cool because it was kind of like a combination of The Exorcist and Airplane. To the point where, you know, that orchestra music from Airplane that they would play when they would show the airplane going through the sky and stuff, it was a very similar soundtrack to it. It was, it was a very fun movie. Lance Henriksen is in it. Bai Ling is in it. It was a really, really fun movie, man. I enjoyed it. It cracked me up. But sweet. Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Airplane for sure.
See, it's one of those things that on a different subject, but we talk about movies that we love and movies that we've seen, and somebody will mention something like Airplane or whatever, or Smokey and the Bandit, say, for example, and you're like, oh man, I love Smokey and the Bandit. I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. The reality is, if we were all watching Cinemax and HBO and stuff like that when we were kids in the 80s, chances are we were watching the sequels. We were watching part 2, part 3, part 4. Because they reserved the originals for, I don't know what they're reserving them for. Maybe people to rent them or something.
Yeah.
But whenever we were watching them for free, because I know, like, for example, the What's Awesome podcast, we're going to do like Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, and blah blah blah. I watched Smokey and the Bandit last night, and I haven't seen that in years. But I'm sitting remembering scenes that are not in it, and the whole movie plays through, and I'm like, what happened? Wait, what? And I'm like, oh, Smokey and the Bandit 2. That was the one that was on TV all the time. I probably ought to watch that before we go on a show and talk about
it. Two was funny with Jackie Gleason playing his cousins. Like, he had a cousin from Canada that was part of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And it was a funny one, man. I actually enjoyed two. But,
well, the first one just, I mean,
the first
back then.
Was great. Like, the first was great, but I enjoyed two, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the first one just, like, it ends right into the second one. They were never going to even see if there was going to be a second one. They're just like, yep.
And Cannonball Run, I got over here. You know, I watch that shit all the time, man.
Cannonball. I that's another one that I need to go back and revisit because just so many iconic scenes in that movie.
Adrian Barbeau, of course.
I was going to say that Lamborghini, man. All right, how about another classic? Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Nice.
Yeah, that one was one that, obviously I didn't see it when I was 3, but it was 4 years old, but it was...
Whereas, you know, I'm a big Cheech and Chong fan from when I was very much too young to be watching Cheech and Chong, so dude, this is how bored I've been. The other day I spent God knows how long organizing every VHS and DVD I have and putting them in order of genre and then putting them in alphabetical order from there.
Nice.
And I realize I have every Cheech and Chong movie except the Corsican Brothers.
Oh, wow.
I even have that stupid one where they things are tough all over, where they play the guys in the limo that steal the limo from the Iranian guys. I don't know if you remember that one. But
I don't remember that one.
And Cheech and Chong play both themselves, and they play the two Iranian guys that they're running from. It's pretty funny.
All right. Staying in July. What about used cars, man?
I have that on VHS. That's one of the ones that I put in alphabetical order the other day. Kurt Russell, that was a great movie, man.
Yeah, it was. And then how about Fulci's Zombie 2, which is actually Zombie because it was a unauthorized sequel.
Okay.
you're familiar with Fulci's Zombie, right?
Actually, no. That's a new one to me.
Okay, go back to House of Wax and Ricky talks about Fulci's Zombie in great detail, okay. But okay, long story short is, so you had like Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead was a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
But whenever it was released internationally, Dawn of the Dead was called Zombie. Okay. So in Italy, the Dawn of the Dead came out and it was Zombie. Well, the Italian director, you know, because back then bootlegging and ripping off and everything was the world was a whole lot less global in the 70s than it is now.
Right.
Fulci decided to make a zombie movie, and it is extremely gory. It is awesome. It is like super, like nastily gory, and has some of the meanest kills ever. It's an awesome zombie movie, but he just straight up released it as a direct sequel to Dawn of the Dead, and he released it. He called it Zombie 2. But there's a couple of the most iconic horror movie scenes in the world ever in this movie.
Wow.
And one of them is the zombie. Well, you just have to watch it. It's insane. But there's one scene where this woman is slowly, like agonizingly slowly, there's a splintered gate or a splintered door, and it's got all these long, sharp pieces of wood, and the zombies reach, and she's trying to pull away from the zombies, and they're pulling her towards them, and they're slowly pulling her eye into the splinter. Wow. Of the the camera does not pull away. It's like, ugh, it's rough. And then there's another scene in it where basically they get a guy. The dude's like free diving. He's like 30 feet under the water, painted up as a zombie, and he attacks about a 12-foot tiger shark and bites it. And it's not stuntman. It is not Bruce.
Wow.
And like this is a real live shark,
right?
That this dude is like pestering and biting, and it's got all kinds of like you know, blood floating around in the water and stuff like that. And you know, tiger sharks are mean, man. They're not nice. But you know, and those are just two iconic scenes. Like all the zombies have like worms and stuff falling out of their eyes. It is awesome.
I'll have to check
and
that
I can't
out, man.
I can't even kind of do it justice because Ricky does such a good job on House of Wax. It's like his second or third episode on House of Wax. So go back and listen to that.
Okay.
And if you watch it on YouTube, man, he's got videos cuts from it. He's like, oh god, it's great. All right. And then finally, a little levity to the horror podcast, but if you were in 1980 and it was summertime and you weren't going to go see Zombie 2, then you would have gone and maybe saw Caddyshack. Boom!
One of the greatest comedies, man. Classic movie there, bro.
Yeah, Caddyshack's awesome. I watched that not too long ago and just sat there. Like, you ever watch a movie that's just so awesome that, like, all of the laughs, all the laughs are still good? Like, I'm sitting there watching it and just finding myself chuckling the whole time. But Beavis and Butthead. Like,
what's amazing about those movies, and I actually, me and my son watched Fletch and Fletch Lives the other day, and he absolutely loved the movies. And I told him, I said, one thing you have with comedy back then with people like, you know, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray and them is their timing was absolutely perfect. With mm-hmm. all their jokes and one-liners and their comebacks, it was just... It was masterful to watch, man. And watching movies like Caddyshack and stuff just demonstrates that. It's an incredible movie, man.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I watched it not too long ago. Just something on. It was on Netflix or something. I've got it on VHS and DVD. And I was like, oh, cool, Caddyshack. You know? there's just too much good in Caddyshack. It's awesome. So... But anyway, those were our movies from 40 years ago, July of 1980.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think the further, you know, like the more we land somewhere in that like mid to late 70s, like up into like the early 90s, that's kind of our sweet spot for things. So. like I said, watching Smokey and the Bandit, you know, it's straight up car racing comedy. You know, it's like there's no gravitas to it. There's no serious, very special scenes or anything like that, right?
Right.
Watching it with my wife, and it's like from like the opening scene to the very last scene. All it is fun. Well, like, there's like, the directors weren't like, let's go high art. They were just like, dude, Burt Reynolds, Sally Field.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What's weird is those movies like Smokey and the Bandit, Caddyshack even, Cannonball Run. When you watch that, it's like you're watching a bunch of guys that get along really well and have great chemistry just have a good time.
Yep, and exactly.
It's just a really fun movie. Everything is just so natural with the movies. The scene when in Smokey and the Bandit, whenever they're loading, they go to load the beer when they go to pick it up. It just looks like two guys goofing off with a forklift. Uh-huh. It's just natural the way they work together. It's phenomenal, man.
Well, too, like whenever he goes over to his house and he's like, wake up, yeah. I got a plan. He's like, I'm not going nowhere with you, but he's like slowly getting dressed, like putting on deodorant, like getting the dog ready, like half asleep. Like, I'm not going, I'm not riding with you on this run. But he's still
the whole
like,
time he's getting ready to go.
he was on the run the whole time. Good friends, having fun. But yeah, so that is the old business. We can take a break and come back for the new.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Friday the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday the 13th, rated R.
And here we are.
Here we are. Okay, it's been a while since we've had a little bit of new business, but we got some catching up to do. So, Mr. Gomez, if you will.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, one thing that I just wanted to touch on really, really quick is a lot of people have died since the last time we recorded.
Shit.
And I was just going to go ahead and I was just going to touch on just a few of them just so we could mention. One for sure. One that I wanted to mention because any 70s fan of Scooby Doo in early 80s remembers Fred Curly Neal from the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh yeah,
he was very distinctive. He was the ball headed guy. He was funny as hell in the cartoons and in real life also as one of the Globetrotters. He passed away at the age of 77. And then we have just a legend in rock music. Little Richard passed away since the last time we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Another legendary musician, but in a different genre from country music, Charlie Daniels passed away.
Yes.
Which was a pretty big one. And then a couple of movie icons that we have also in the field of music as well is Ennio Morricone. Mm-hmm. Of course, who did the score for The Thing, which is his big horror score, but he also did countless other movies and stuff, passed away at the age of 91. And another one that was huge is Joel Schumacher died.
Yes. Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, Batman, and so many other movies that, as we talked about in the podcast so many times, I've come to appreciate sound and music and stuff in movies. And, you know, just these are the guys that, you know, we're just legends in the field, and people still try to carry on that the tradition of giving a music score to a movie that just sets the scene and just gets you ready for what's coming up.
Schumacher was, they'd been around, so I mean they were older, and you know, like, you know, they had a good run, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But Schumacher, to me, was kind of funny because, you know, he made a lot of really great movies, but he's just pilloried for Batman.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, dude, I mean, I don't know, whatever's to the source material, but, yeah, you make a shitty movie, guys, get over it. Like, I didn't enjoy that one. I was like, this is dumb. But I didn't think it ruined Schumacher or anything else. You're just like, well, that one didn't work. but yeah, I mean, he's responsible for the Lost Boys. So,
and I just got a couple other little bits of new business just to go over. You know where Liberty County is outside of Houston, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Police were called out. I'm sorry, Liberty County in Georgia. Laura, what am I thinking? Allenhurst, Georgia. Liberty County officials, they were called out to a call about a dead body on The sheriff's office made it out there, made contact with the body, kind of creeped up on it, and the deceased person ended up being a sex doll with a sheet placed over it. The law enforcement officers actually went. They did not want to touch the deceased person, so they put the sheet and waited for the coroner to arrive. When the coroner got there, they pulled the sheet off and realized that it was actually one of those high-dollar female sex dolls that was anatomically correct, with realistic skin and features, and was fully dressed.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so now they're looking for the pranksters that decide to go ahead and play a joke on the sheriff's office. And
I don't think it was pranksters. I think it was some dude's wife got pissed off.
Threw it out the car.
Yeah, or somebody was like, some dude's mom or something was like, you can't be living like this. You need a real girlfriend. Like, do it out the window.
Okay, so you know how people always fall for sites like The Onion and Babylon Bee and stuff like that, and they end up, you know, sharing.
I love those things. Okay, wait. Yeah.
There's apparently a satirical website called rentahitman.com. Are you familiar with this?
I have not, no.
Yes, it's a satirical website that describes itself as your your point-and-click solution and boasts of 17,985 U.S.-based field operatives. Site visitors are assured that Rent-A-Hitman is compliant with provisions of the 1964 Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act, HIPAA. So they're HIPAA compliant. So nice. A Michigan woman recently discovered the Rent-A-Hitman website and filled out their service request to get a hitman to take care of her husband. Oh, and another note that they have on the website right now is we are still open during the COVID-19 pandemic, though our Wuhan offices will be working on a reduced schedule.
That's awesome.
So the lady filled out the form, submitted it to the website, identified her former spouse as the intended victim. So the people at Ready Hitman decided to contact the Michigan State Police and let them know about it. Undercover trooper ended up meeting up with Wine in a parking lot near her home in South Rockwood, about 25 miles south of Detroit, where she offered him $5,000 to kill her ex.
Oh, wow.
She offered to give the payment up front to cover travel expenses since the proposed target was living in Tennessee. So she was, of course, booked with a solicitation of murder and using a computer to commit a crime, which are both felonies. So, yeah, she somebody actually thought the Rent-A-Hitman website on the internet was a real thing.
Dude, the thing is, people think all kinds of crap is real.
I know, dude. Like, don't get me started with this, because people will share a meme or a tweet as though it's news.
Uh-huh.
And they won't do anything to go and research it to see, you know, this sounds so outlandish. You should go ahead and check and see if it's actually factual or not. But instead, they tweet it as though it's a Dan Rather report from CBS News.
Yeah. Well, somebody posted that thing, and it's like, if this lockdown would have happened, you know, 20 years ago, we would have had the Nokia phones. And I was like, I think it would have been a little happier. Like, right. Everybody
would have
just
stayed home then. I think we would have been complaining about shit. We'd be watching the news every once in a while and taking care of stuff. It'd be a lot simpler.
Yeah. But, yeah, everybody's like tweeting this, being mad about that. Okay, so talking new business, did you hear what happened to the Chinese consulate today?
Yes, I did. That was pretty crazy. The video of them burning stuff was nuts, man.
that is insane. For those of you who aren't in Houston, this is probably national news by now, but the federal government ordered, we have a Chinese consulate, and I actually used to live just a couple blocks away from it. It's over in the Montrose area of Houston, and it's, you know, it's sovereign Chinese land, so there's, you know, it's a consulate, right? But like, Chinese nationals are almost always out in front of the place protesting China's, you know, all of the things China does. So, and most of the times their signs are in Chinese, so you can't read them, but there's protesters out there all the time. And like, it just used to be like, okay, you got to slow down for the protesters, like when you're going up and down Montrose. But so you're always like, okay, you know, it's consulate, whatever. today the federal government said they had 72 hours to vacate the building. And so these mofos went out on the roof and started burning all their stuff.
Well, that's one thing I was wondering is, did the statement that they had, they were being evicted essentially, come before or after the paper burning? Because it almost seemed as though they started burning the papers last night, and then this morning they were told they had 72 hours to vacate the premises.
Nah, they were told they were told they had to get out, and they started burning stuff. It's like,
okay,
it was like the reaction to, okay, to getting told.
Because I was almost wondering if they got word that it was coming, so they started burning shit, and then all of a sudden the statement came out saying they had to leave.
Well, this is not one of those Snopes things, you know, like sharing it. But I read that, you know how like whenever those BLM protests were starting to happen, not. Like while Minneapolis was kind of just starting to tumble down, then they were starting to find mysterious piles of bricks in different cities, like where protests were scheduled to happen. I read on a thing that there was a paper trail that led back to that consulate, that they were the ones ordering the bricks, like just trying to sow unrest or whatever. And it's like, oh man, that's that sucks. Because, dude, at the end of the day, somebody with a truck showed up and dropped the bricks. They're easy enough to track. You know, you're watching Forensic Files. You know, somebody's like, hey, anybody got a manifest for this? You can just be like, okay, who dropped the bricks? Okay, who paid you for those bricks? Like this guy. Like, it's not hard to find if you're looking, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, then they're like, okay, you need to get out of here. And then they start burning all their documents. And I don't know why I'm laughing at it. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's pretty damn scary.
It's sketchy as hell, dude.
You have to laugh to keep from crying.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Somebody was like, you know, why aren't they shredding it? I said, because you can tape that shit back together. I watched Forensic Files. I know. You can go through there and get those documents and put it back together.
Ain't you ever seen Batman Returns?
Yeah, it's true. Actually, I watched it a couple nights ago.
Anyway, so yeah, there's probably more to come on that.
There's going to be plenty to come. There's going to be, the only thing that I'm not too excited about is whatever repercussions China is going to try to put on the United States for doing it. Because you know something's coming.
No, the consulates get pushed out all the time. And I'm sure they've got consulates in other places. It was just this one.
Right.
So, you know, there's still a consulate in New York. So they just probably found the one that's being bad. All right, man. So is that the end of the new business or you got some more?
That's it for new business, brother.
All right, let's take a break. We will be right back.
Ever hear of a gift certificate that turns into a soft drink? Oh, it can happen this Halloween. When you give out McDonald's Halloween gift certificates, kids take them to McDonald's and they get a McDonald's soft drink. A book of 20 Halloween gift certificates costs only a dollar. And can turn into 20 regular soft drinks. It must be the magic of Halloween.
All right, man. I don't know if we should attack this on to the end of the new business, but just everything. Texas Frightmare Weekend got postponed till, well, basically 2020's canceled. 2020 just got moved into 2011 slot. I know you've been following that quite a bit more than I have, but that's the long and the short of it. I did manage to get a room at the Host Hotel.
We got two rooms at the Host Hotel, and my kids actually really, really want to go this year. So it's this year, it's not on their birthday weekend. Their birthdays are falling after it. So
It's still falling on my anniversary weekend. Okay. But that'll always be that way. But you saw Lloyd posted that video of that frog.
trying to crawl into the gap. Yeah. Oh, dude, I went to clean the skimmer out of the pool the other day, and when I opened up the top, there was a rat in there. It scared the shit out of me.
No good.
The creatures are taking over because we're not out and about because of COVID.
I know. Yeah, we had so when we had the foundation repair done, you know, like they dig the hole out, they put the pier in, then they fill the dirt, so then occasionally you have settling and you have sinkholes. There's little holes, so probably about a foot and a half, 2 feet deep, just kind of opened up like on the side of my house, and it got coated in wasps.
Oh shit!
Like wasp building a nest down there. So there's a AC drain dripping, and they're like floating around in the water. My wife's like, "Hey, go check this out." I go check it out. I'm like, "Ah, man, there's wasps." I spray some wasp spray into the hole, and then like a whole bunch of them fly out, coated in wasp spray. I'm like,
"Ha ha!" I hate wasps. Do you get to the point like me where you just need to hit them one time, but I'll just continuously spray them until they actually stop moving. They'll be covered in a ball of foam. I don't need to go that far, but it just feels good just to go ahead.
I'll spray them and then just stomp them, grind them into the ground. I got one the other day. It got in the house somehow, and I hit it with a shoe, like batted it, right? When I popped it so hard, its head fell off.
Damn.
And I went and got some toilet paper to pick it up, and when I picked it up, its butt still started trying to sting me. I was just like, dude, you don't even have a head. What the hell? Like, he just kind of exploded when I hit him, you know. But, dude. All right, so what's your plans for summer, man? Are we going to summer camp? Or what?
Summer camp is going to be all about movies this year, dude. That's about it. We've been trying to figure out something to plan, but the kids honestly don't want to do anything. They feel more comfortable just staying at home and not going out and about. My daughter, of course, wants to go to Colorado still very badly. We've talked about that already. She wants to go to Estes Park. So I told her, I said, let's wait till it calms down a little bit. You know, Colorado might end up closing their borders to Texas any minute now. So let's just relax and we'll go eventually. We'll make it. Hopefully we'll make it before it gets too much snow.
Dude, Colorado's awesome. I'd go back there in a heartbeat. It's amazing. And Estes Park, I mean, the Stanley Hotel is there, and it is cool. But everything else around it is also freaking cool. Right.
She wants to go to Castle Rock, which is where her friends are, which isn't far from Estes Park.
Nice.
I think it's like a 20 or 30 minute drive. So, and it's called cool. Castle Rock, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Yeah, this is like the summer vacation episode where we're sitting there talking like, okay, right now is generally the time. Like, let's go ahead and get our. I have these stupid Facebook memories pop up like over the past month or so, and it's like 2 years ago today, you were in Seattle. It's like, oh yeah, I remember that. That was fun. We were around people, and the city wasn't on fire. there was no, whatever protest zone or whatever's going on there. It's like, 3 years ago you were here, 4 years ago you were there. I'm like, dude, stop it.
Stop reminding me of what was.
my poor daughter, man. Like, she was supposed to be in Girl Scout camp, and like all of the child daycare stuff is called camp, like whether you're camping or not. So my wife had all of the dates pre-populated into her calendar. So every now and then her calendar pops up. And it's like horse camp, and Juliet's like, "What's that? what does that mean? On the 28th, am I supposed to be at horse camp?" We're like, "No, you were supposed to be, but it's canceled." So what do you think all of our masked psycho killers are doing? Are they happy that everybody's staying away and leaving them alone, giving them a little break?
Well, I think they were happy initially, but it's got to be getting to them by now.
They're like, where'd everybody go?
Yeah,
like,
they need something to do, too. This is their busy time, you know?
Yeah, man. I need a vacation. I need a vacation bad. I need to get out of town. So, we had done the bucket list thing a while back. So I was thinking like, and again, we're only just now into the segment. We're 44 minutes into the show, so it's going to be kind of a short segment. So don't break your brain trying to figure out what to say. But I was really thinking about like, try to think of those fun destinations that you'd like to go as soon as this thing breaks, Because one thing that COVID has done, probably more than anything, is if you're watching a movie and people are in a restaurant or people are gathered and having a good time or people show pictures of a concert, it's making you appreciate those things. So a lot of times if maybe you just didn't go because it was too much of a hassle or tickets cost too much or, you know, whatever. But now, once those gates open, what's a couple of things that are on your list for getting out and getting done?
Well, for sure, I just, depending on what concerts are coming up, I miss those days of going to concerts very, very much and just seeing live music and, you know, just enjoying things. But it's one of those things where, you know, you got to wait and see what's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know who's going to be willing to take that risk first to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to open my doors for this. You know, it. But definitely, like I mentioned already, Colorado for sure is one of the things that we want to do. Just get away. I've been talking. It's time for reflection and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that me and the kids have been talking about is I need to get back to home in Louisiana and visit some people. And I honestly want to take about a week and just try to visit everybody because it's been so long since I've seen those people out there, man. And, and this is just making me realize, you know, just how long it's been.
Yeah, man. Like, my mom's been in Brownsville taking care of my grandfather. She called me the other day. She's like, hey, I need you to help me. I'm like, what? She's like, I've been down here for a year. I've been having, like, I'm paying my mortgage and my rent and everything's just fine. But my mail's, like, they're going to stop forwarding my mail. Help me out with this. I don't have a computer, so help me log on and move my mail. I'm like, dude, you don't realize, like, I'll be talking to customers, and I'm just like, you know, hey, you know, this, whatever, this year, last year, it's only, you know, a couple of weeks. I'm like, wait, no, I'm thinking 2019. Like, it's like 2020 is just like, that hasn't happened. I'm like, almost 8 months into the year and it's just completely wiped. So,
but that's the other thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but I was thinking about this the other day, but it seems as though quarantine is making this year zip by really, really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because every day is exactly the same. it's like, I've been here before. What day is it? Oh crap. You mean 8 days have passed? You're talking about the music appreciation. That is honestly one of the things that's really come back for me. Not that I've never been a fan of music at all, but like I think sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder, sort of thing. Because like for years I just played my guitar all the time. I just, you know, I had an electric, but mostly I played acoustic because I didn't want to mess with knobs and adjustments. I just wanted to sit and play. And, you know, at pretty much any given time, I was playing my guitar if I wasn't, you know, actively engaged in something else. I'd sit there and just play it while I was watching TV. And then, you know, after years of being in a band and then being in another band and then having to do it and then playing like night after night after night and everything, after a while, you just kind of the luster kind of came off of it, then kids and work and life and everything, and it's just like as shitty as it sounds, it's like it's just easier not to, because, which, you know, is pretty much true about anything. Like, it's always easier to not do something than to do it, but you get so far out of practice that you're never going to be as good as you used to be, because it's going to take you practice to build those skills back up. Well, the quarantine has given me the time, and so I actually picked up my guitars and started playing them again pretty religiously, actually. I play probably a couple hours a day. That is more than I've played in probably 10 years combined. a couple of hours, like, total, maybe 3 or 4 hours in 10 years, and then now I'm like an hour or two a day. Everybody goes to bed. I grab one of my electrics because it's quiet and I can play it without it making noise, and I just sit there and play. So the whole live music thing and the ability to make music, and, like, I'm not doing it for any purpose. Like, I'm not being like, oh, I'm going to start a band, but it's just like, you know, oh, I can do this and I enjoy it, so I'm taking this back.
Right.
And, you know, then if something pops up where people are like, hey, do you want to jam? Like, then I can. I won't be, oh, man, I'm so out of practice, I can't do it. So that is one thing that's been a lot better is I have been playing the guitar. I've been trying to be more creative. We're doing, you know, I got a, not really announcing it yet because I've still got like a couple of hurdles to jump, but I've got two books coming out before the end of the year. So,
ooh, awesome.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. More details on that to come. You might have seen a couple of teasers, but yeah, I'm trying to build the marketing while I'm waiting for the proofs to come through. So okay. once I get proofs in, then I'll do a pre-order and I'll make the announcements and set up all the incentives and stuff. And I'm about halfway through it. It looks like the Death Star. It's functional, but it's still ain't built yet.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a little bit more creative as well. I've been working on trying to get back into writing. So I've been working on that screenplay that I've been working on for a while as of late. And just trying to get back into reading to get some inspiration so I can start putting some pen to paper and seeing what I could do. Just trying to get back to basics, man. I got away from too much stuff for too long. And this period has given me time to get back to it, you know?
Yep. Seriously, dude, I think a lot of people are like that. And strangely at the same time, like I read somebody posted on Facebook, you know, it's like give yourself permission not to be awesome during the, you know, like you don't have to bake bread or learn a new instrument or like, dude, like you just have permission to sit on the couch if you need to. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure. You've got permission to do whatever the hell you want. You're except for going to a bar or something, like, but you're literally being told to stay home and not do shit. So, right. Yeah, that's all the permission you need. But most people will always say that they didn't do something because they didn't have the time. Not because they didn't have the talent, not because they didn't have the desire, but because, oh, I just don't have the time. And I can honestly say, dude, I don't know why I do this to myself. I always have done this to myself. I get myself so wrapped up in hobbies and projects and work stuff and just shit going on that I'm busy all the frickin' time. Like, I'm always got something going on. I got too many somethings going on all the time. And I always think, man, I serve too many masters. If I just cut everything back and focused on one thing, I could probably be pretty awesome at that one thing. And it's like, but the world's too damn interesting, man.
Right.
But yeah, man, if you've ever wanted to do something, now is the time. And I think after COVID, if you're complaining that you don't have time to do something, it's not because you didn't have the time, it's because you just didn't want to. you didn't want to bad enough anyway.
When you said the thing about that meme that was going around about not doing anything, it reminded me of Office Space where he's talking to his neighbor and he's like, you know, what would you do if you had $1 million? And he says, I'd do nothing. He tells him, he goes, shit, man, you don't need $1 million to do that. My cousin don't do shit and he's broke as hell.
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to a podcast a long time ago that said the exact same thing, and it wasn't an Office Space reference, but he's talking about like designing your life. You know, it's like, oh man, you know, it's like, you know, get the job that you want, get the, you know, start a business, you know, whatever it is, you know, you can't blame other people for not having it, you know. He's like, and the thing is, as a coach, I will often ask people, like, well, what do you want? Like, if you could picture your perfect life, what do you want? And they're like, oh, I just want to, you know, like, ride four-wheelers and go fish all day. And he's like, dude, every broke redneck in the country does that. Like, if you want that life, it's not hard to go pull up a trailer up by the side of the road and just live that life.
Live in a pole camper and you're good to go.
Yep. So it's all about perspective. Oh, man. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, we didn't really talk much about summer vacation. Maybe some inspirations and some catching up.
But, yeah, but it was a good episode, though. Like I said, we're back. We're back, just so everyone knows.
To make sure we don't have any technical difficulties, and then we'll get together sometime in the next couple of days and do another episode. But in the meantime,
a couple of things before we go, I just want to go ahead and bring this up. A couple of movies that I wanted to talk about, one to avoid and one that you might want to check out. One to avoid is, you know, I pick up these movies everywhere, these independent films at different conventions and stuff. And mm-hmm. I finally broke out one called G-Men from Hell. You familiar with it?
Nuh-uh.
Had potential. William Forsythe's in it. Gary Busey's in it. Bobcat Goldthwait's in it. Terrible. Oh, and what's your name? oh, I can't remember her name, but Carrie Wuer is in it, which makes it exciting. It's the highlight of the movie, actually. Avoid this movie at all costs. It was absolutely terrible, man. As much as I love William Forsythe from when he was in Out for Justice with Steven Seagal. I thought that was his best role, to be honest with you. But, yeah, that movie was very disappointing. But one that I did watch on Amazon, that's on Amazon Prime right now. I had never heard of this movie, but it's called Body Bags. Have you ever heard of it? It's a 1993 made-for-TV horror anthology. And what was cool about this movie is what made me want to watch it is the two directors are John Carpenter and Tobe Hooper.
Oh, wow.
And what's really cool is Tobe Hooper and John Carpenter also have parts in the film. But check out this cast, man. I'm talking John Carpenter, Tom Arnold, Tobe Hooper, Robert Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds fame. You got Wes Craven plays a role in it. Sam Raimi plays a role in it. Stacey Keach, Sheena Easton, remember her? Debbie Harry, and the biggest one, the third story in the film stars the one and only Mark Hamill.
Oh, wow.
It is a really cool movie. It's on Amazon Prime. I highly recommend you checking it out. It's not, it was a made-for-TV movie, so it's not, it's
not gory.
It's not gory, but it's very well-made stories. The only one I didn't care for too much was the one with Stacey Keach, but it still had some good parts to it. But the first and third stories, which are The Gas Station and the last one is called I, those definitely, I enjoy those a lot.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out.
But that's it, brother. You want to close this out?
Rock and roll. Yeah, man. Just everybody go hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on the Instagram. You know, we're coming back. We're going to partner a little bit closer with Houston Horror Film Fest. Scary Dad got postponed as well. So we're going to try to build up some synergies between now and the shows to really kind of help each other out. And, you know, just find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts and join the conversation, and we will see you next time. Keep it scary.
Later. Thank you.